You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now bring you the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will, a practical and fun approach to understanding, developing, and applying the truths contained in the gift of living in the divine will.
And thank you, Radio Maria. I want to thank God above all for this opportunity to bring this, the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will, to anyone who wishes to listen. I'm Peter DePalm, and I'm joined every week by Mother Gabriel Murray and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will that today come from Maryville, Tennessee. I'm just still tongue-tied on that. I'm just used to saying from Italy, but Maryville, Tennessee. And it's no surprise that Mother and the sisters find themselves in a town called Maryville. You can't make this stuff up. But speaking of Mary, we've got a beautiful day. We're on the eve of the Solemnity of the Immaculate Conception of Mary. It is also the feast day of St. Ambrose. We'll talk about it a little later on. We're going to begin with a prayer, and our prayer is going to be a supplication. And we thought, why not? Let's use the Magnificat, Mary's Magnificat, found in Luke 1, 46 through 55. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for God has looked with favor on the lowliness of the Almighty servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is God's name. God's mercy is for those who fear God from generation to generation. God has shown strength with God's arm. God has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. God has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. God has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. God has helped servant Israel in remembrance of God's mercy, according to the promise God made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So just a joy to be here. You know, Mother, it was stated that Jesus would be the rise and fall of many. I have to believe that the same is for Mary. I mean, a couple of facts I didn't know. But this Magnificat, this Mary's Magnificat, is so powerful. And by the way, "for the Mighty One has done great things for me," that's something we can all recite perhaps throughout the day, because it's true. I mean, to bring us this gift of the divine will is everything. It's all of God. But the Magnificat was not without controversy. The government of Guatemala in the 1980s recognized the, quote, subversive nature of Mary's song. The government found Mary's proclamation that God is especially concerned for the poor to be dangerous and revolutionary, and it banned it from all public recitation of any of Mary's words. Wow. It was also banned under the British rule in India. In the 1980s, they could not recite the Magnificat. So what is so powerful? Why is Our Lady feared so much? Because Our Lady is bringing everyone to her Son. Mother?
Because the devil hates Our Lady, you know.
That's right. He does.
He's going to attack anything.
And he hates us too, but for that matter.
he hates the divine will. That gets attacked too, you know.
That's true.
When something is attacked, and you have to know it's good, you know, most things. The early Christians, what did they do? They were getting martyred for their faith, you know, and people felt that the Pharisees thought they were evil, they were wrong, this was heresy, you know. Now people, the Catholics are thinking that, or so many Christians, that the divine will is heresy, it's wrong, it's evil. Do we give it up? No, did the Christians give it up? They died for their faith. So we're going to continue to persevere in reading the divine will and trying to live it. You know, you can read it, but you gotta live it. You gotta continue to strive to live it. And the only way you can do that is to read the volumes, to study it, to let it penetrate in your heart and soul, so that every act and round you do is more powerful because of the faith you have in it. I was just reading here. This is in volume 2, June 2nd, 1899. The soul, by placing herself in God, makes sublime flights on the way to perfection, knowing, however, that it is not her, but rather she does it by virtue of that blessed God who carries her within himself. Oh, how the Lord favors her, enriches her, and concedes the greatest graces, knowing that she attributes nothing to herself, but everything to him. Also, you who know yourself, how fortunate you are. And how do we get to know ourselves? The more we know God, the more we know ourselves. The closer you get to Him and His perfection, the more you see your imperfections. But then you begin to practice perfection more, because the more you see yourself, the more you grow in virtue, the more you take on God's attributes and virtues. So living in His divine will is the greatest way to grow in holiness and to die to yourself and to realize your nothingness. It's like you see yourself in a foggy glass. You clean the glass, you look more, you can see all your blemishes more. You can see your pimples. If you're old, you can see your wrinkles. If you're young, you have pimples. If you're old, you get wrinkles. God keeps us humble, keeps us from growing in too much, and being proud and so, thinking that we're so beautiful. You know, God always tries to let us see ourselves in a more perfect way. But as you see yourself in a more perfect way, because you see God and His virtues and His attributes, you grow in happiness and joy. You think that you would be sad and depressed. No, when you see yourself in the light of God and in the eyes of God, you grow in great joy, great peace, great resignation, because humility is perfect joy. You know, if you know that you're humble, you have nowhere to fall. But people who think much of themselves are afraid to lose what they think of themselves. Like a very rich person is afraid to lose what he's got. A poor person has nothing to lose. He's very secure in what he's got. I heard a story once about a man that had $10 billion. He lost $1 billion and he killed himself. Because he couldn't stand to lose anything, you know. So the more you have, it's like the best looking people hate to lose their looks as they get older. But if you don't look so good, you have nothing to lose. You're happy. Or you don't mind when the wrinkles come and the gray hair and, you know, all these things.
Just for a moment, you mentioned that we have nothing to lose. That's something also, if we think about it with the divine will, again, we're all given an option. God wants us to embrace it voluntarily. He wants us to accept this voluntarily. He's not going to force us. But in essence, look at God gives us a landscape to help us look at Him and toward Him. Look at what's going on in the world. By embracing the divine will, what have we to lose? Nothing. And let's play devil's advocate, for lack of a better phrase. Let's say the divine will is all false. Do you think God's going to be upset at us? No. He'll be too busy beating up on St. Hannibal de Francia, St. Padre Pio, St. John Paul II, all those who encouraged, who recognize this gift as being what it is. So again, we have nothing to lose. And if we think about that, we've got everything to gain. It's the flip side of the coin.
That's right. If you believe something is of God, you must follow it. Because God sees your heart. Even if it's not of God, if you really believe it's of God, you must do it. Documents of Vatican II says if a person really believes the Catholic Church should be the one true church founded by Christ and doesn't enter into the church, their soul is in danger of being lost. If a person is outside of the church and knows that they should come into the church, a person that is a Catholic and really believes it to be the true church and leaves it, their soul is in danger of being lost. So because now people leave the Catholic Church, but they don't really believe it, you know, or they don't come into it. They're okay, you know, but you must follow what you feel God is telling you in your heart as that is the truth, and follow that and believe it. It's like, if you think something is God's will, do it. And living in the divine will, you must also do God's will. So throughout the day, you must ask God, if you're planning on doing something, does God want me to do this or not? Whether it's taking a snack, you know, eating three bowls of ice cream instead of one, you must ask, is God, what is God's will for me here? You know, and if you really believe God's will is only for you to have one little bowl of ice cream, then that's all you should have. You see, I haven't always followed that one, but
no, me either.
But, you know, not to be gluttonous. If a person is drinking alcohol, if you're drinking wine or something, one glass is maybe all you need. If you know that God doesn't want you to have that second glass of wine because you're kind of feeling kind of lightheaded, then don't take that second glass of wine. Whatever you want to do, if you want to go somewhere and, you know, maybe God doesn't want you to go to that place. If you're partaking in some entertainment and you know that God maybe doesn't want you to partake in that entertainment, stop it. It may be a movie that all of a sudden you didn't know it was a bad movie with bad scenes, then you're obligated to turn it off. or fast forward through certain spots. But, you know, you have to do God's will. Don't pornography is a terrible thing. And many people are addicted to pornography. And pornography is one of the worst addictions because it changes the chemistry of your brain. And it's hard to overcome that. So if you know you're looking at pornography and you know that that's not what God wants you to do, you're obligated to stop it. You know, to follow the precepts of the church. You know, God wants you to go to Mass on Sunday. One of the precepts of the church says it's a mortal sin to miss Mass on Sunday and holy days of obligation. So you must go, and you're obligated before God to do that. So all of those things that we know is God's will for us, we must do. And that's, and then we ask Him to do it in us. That's the difference of living in the divine will. We ask God to do His will in us. That's the difference, you know. And so, but it's a great, great grace that God's given us to live in His divine will. What a great gift, you know. To lose this gift is really a really big loss. He even told Louisa that losing one act around in divine will was such a great loss. He put her in bed 64 years. She didn't eat, sleep, or drink for 64 years because he wanted her to just be conscious of doing acts and rounds in his divine will throughout the day. That's very important if you're going to live in his divine will. So we don't want to lose that, you know, and you have to realize the importance of that by reading the volumes and what that means, you know, for to ask God to do his acts in you. They become divine acts. We can't do divine acts. Only God can. But when we call him in our activities, it becomes a divine act because God does it. And it's got no beginning, no end. It's continual. Whereas our human acts, if we don't invite him into our activities, has a beginning and an end. Our I love yous that we put on things has no beginning, no end. It continues to say out to the Father, from you, God, Jesus does it first. We can't do divine rounds even. We can't put our I love yous on things. We desire it. Jesus does it for us. And it shouts out to the eternal Father from all eternity. I love you, God. I love you, God. I love you, God. Because God, Jesus did it. Because it became a divine I love you. But you desired it. He takes the desires of your heart and it becomes a reality. So it's such a sublime thing, this gift of living in divine will. We must realize what a great gift God has given each one of us that really embrace this. And when you embrace it, you know you can't give it up. It's such a beautiful thing. I mean, this is the greatest gift. If I had to choose between living religious life and living in the divine will, I'll choose the divine will because it's the greatest gift. Now, it's good that we can live in divine will and also embrace, live a religious life and also embrace the divine will. But this is the most important thing. So even people out there, married, lay people, single people, married people, it's for everybody. It's not just for us here. This is for everybody. Everybody, God wants each one of us to become great saints. And that those living in divine will in the latter times will be the greatest saints in the history of the church. Yesterday, we were reading in the readings in the divine office from St. Bernard of Clairvaux, and he talked about the three comings. There are three comings. And so even then, in his time, he had an inkling of the divine will. He didn't know what to call it, but he talked about the first coming when Jesus came and died and rose for us, the redemption. The intermediate coming, he says, it's going to be unseen. It's going to be within us, realizing the Trinity dwelling within us and living a life of being a living host. We're walking tabernacles. And then the final coming is when he comes in his glory. So right now he's coming in this intermediate coming. And the Pope John Paul II used to talk about the new and divine holiness coming. That's what he was talking about, the divine will reigning and Our Lady's Immaculate Heart triumphing. I think it happens consecutively. I think we have to pray that the Church proclaims Our Lady Mediatrix and Co-Redemptrix, the fifth and final dogma of Our Lady. I think that's when her Immaculate Heart will really triumph after that dogma is proclaimed. So we have to pray for that to happen soon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you're right. It's all combined. It may be in separate epics, the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, the era of peace, the Eucharistic reign of Jesus, all that is going to come to fruition. In fact, even Father Gobi from the Marian Movement and Priests said that all of this will not occur until everyone's living in the divine will. And he actually speaks about Luisa Picaretta. You know, it's so great, Mother, that God gives us this flexibility to live out our office, whatever that may be, in and through the divine will. And he gives us the boundaries. Let's call the Ten Commandments the boundaries, the framework of it. It's like, I don't know if you've ever gone to a bowling alley. When there's a young child bowling, they put up these gutter rails so it keeps the ball on the lane. Well, that's basically what God is doing with the Ten Commandments. He's keeping us in the lane, giving us the flexibility to go left, right, straight, or back, but it's keeping us in the lane. So we adhere to the Ten Commandments, which he gave us the outline, the guideline, and now he's given us the full breadth of the divine will. We have everything. And he's not restricting us. In fact, he's just encouraging us. And the biggest encouragement that he's given us is our Blessed Mother. Remember, Article 507 in the Catholic Catechism states, quote, at once Virgin and Mother, Mary is the symbol and the most perfect realization of the Church, end quote. So how could we not want to emulate she who is the perfect symbol, the perfect realization of the Church as we realize our everything that we've received in our nothingness. It's just absolutely, it's mind-blowing.
Well, you go to Our Lady for anything. Jesus cannot say no to his mother. Why? She lived totally in his divine will. He couldn't say no to Louisa. He stayed away from her when he wanted to chastise the people because she begged him not to chastise that. The people. And he had to stay away because he told her, he says, you know, to chastise the people is my love and my mercy because it's her souls are more important than the body. If he can save the soul through chastisement, through discipline, then that's a gift. And everything comes through Our Lady and back to God through Our Lady. She is the mediatrix of all graces.
Very well said.
Yeah, and Mother, I just would like to add to what you said earlier, you know, all of these beautiful things that we talk about living in the divine will, it comes through faith. Like you said, Mother, you know, if you really believe that it comes from God, we are obligated to really do what God is telling us to do in our soul. And for those people who have not been, you know, maybe not enlightened yet to the knowledge of the divine will or in the faith of the Catholic Church, they will not be as culpable because it's not revealed to them. But on their behalf, the beauty about living in the divine will is that we can live for them. What is void left by them because they don't know that we know. We can do this on their behalf. That's the beauty of the divine will, because there's a void that should have been given to God through them, but because of ignorance, they didn't know much, but we know. So the beauty about living in the divine will is we can do these acts and love not only for ourselves, but for everyone. Those who do not live in the divine will yet, you know, it can benefit them. And even those who know the divine will or know the true faith of the Catholic faith, and they, despite of this knowledge, they refuse this knowledge. And of course, they also left a void. And we cannot judge for them, only God can judge, but we can also do acts and rounds and love for God on their behalf. Even those who rejected with full knowledge the faith, we can still do this because everything that we do when done in the divine will, it is Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ wants to save everybody, even those who may seem at this moment are not saved. But we don't know at the moment of death, at the very last time they will convert. So these are the fruits of the work that we do. And Mother also mentioned about, do we have time? Okay, and Mother also mentioned about the sublime, you know, the sublimity of living in the divine will. Our Blessed Mother is the best example for this one. And December 8th is the hour of grace, and Our Lady is full of grace. And we know that when we do this hour of grace, which is we do this from 12 to 1, it doesn't only happen at this day, but when we do this hour of grace in divine will, it is this act that is done past, present, and future for whatever we do at this very moment affects the whole eternity, and eternity is the present moment. And so I would like to share with you a passage from Volume 6, March 4, 1904, because I think this is also a good passage to reflect on how to live in the divine will, of course, through the example of our Blessed Mother, who is full of grace. And so this is, again, my daughter. The title of this passage is "The Soul Must Live Up High. One who lives up high cannot be harmed." And my daughter, your soul must try to maintain the flight of an eagle, that is, to dwell up high above all the low things of this earth, and so high that no enemy may harm it. In fact, one who lives up high can harm the enemies, but cannot be harmed. And she must not only live up high, but must try to have purity and sharpness of eyes, similar to those of an eagle. So I would like to pause here because he talks about living up high. And I think the sharpness of the eyes here. Of course, when we look at the eagle, they soar up really high, but they have very sharp eyes that they can see what's down below, their prey, their food. I think for our example here, God not only talks about, you know, guarding our eyes, of course, Mother mentioned about pornography, what we watch, the physical eye, but also the eye of the heart. What is important is that we have a purity of heart, that we can live up high through living in the divine will, no longer living on our own, but with God, with Jesus Christ in his unity, divinity, and humanity, that we are able to see the danger of the world. We will be able to see what is good and what is right and to discern better, so that we can be not harmed. We can put ourselves out away from harm. This is what he's talking about. And I continue here. Though living up high through the sharpness of her sight, see, she penetrates the divine things. So again, it talks about the purity of heart. We can penetrate the divine things, not in passing, but by chewing them to the point of making of them her favorite food, despising any other thing. So I think despising any other thing means the worldly things or anything that is outside of the divine will. And so that our favorite food should be divine will. And we give God our human will in exchange of the divine will. They should be our favorite food. And she also penetrates the necessities of her neighbor, nor is she afraid to descend into their midst and do good to them. And if needed, she lays down her life. So again, you know, we give God everything by living in the divine will, but this living in the divine will not only affects my relationship with God, but also affects our relationship with others. It is through our love for others, it is through charity and compassion for others that we should even desire more to live in the divine will, okay? Through the purity of her sight, the love of God, and the love of neighbor, from two, she makes them one, rectifying everything for God. So this is rectifying everything, is filling all the voids that others should have done. So loving our neighbors. So must the soul be if she wants to please me. So living, again, the sublimity of living in the divine will, the calling to live up, soar high, is very important, because this is how God saves the whole world. And so there's a challenge or some questions. How do we live this life? So Mother mentioned about, you know, being able to see ourselves truly, you know, when we live in the divine will, God reveals to us our faults so that we can be humble, you know, but what about if we reflect on ourselves and we are little and we have our weaknesses and we overcome this, you know, rise above our weaknesses for the sake of God? How about rising? What about if others have their weaknesses? How are we able to rise above their weaknesses? Say, for example, you know, we live a very good life, loving and all this, but what if others, people are not necessarily loving us back? We're not, you know, we're not returned. How are we able to respond to this? How difficult it is, like in workplace, in our families, relationships. I think Mother mentioned in previous lessons, and some of us are sharing this, that if we don't mind what everything else is going on, if we're focused totally on God, that we overlook all of these things, all that the chaos that's going out outside of our heart, we can overcome that. We can ignore that. We can oversight that, because our focus is no longer on them, but our focus is on God.
Right. Yeah. When you mentioned about the, you know, in effect that what we do when we're doing it in God's most holy divine will can effectuate change on a positive to all souls, past, present, and future. It sounds awfully like the communion of saints.
Yeah.
I mean, we all are connected. And what's so beautiful is that, you know, God's mysterious permissible will never allow something to occur unless he's going to bring about a greater good. So when Adam fell, what could be worse than that? Well, probably killing Jesus. But Adam fell. Mm-hmm. And what does God do? He allows that fall to continue to get even worse until it gets to the culmination of where we are now. Then all of a sudden, everything changes. I'd like to go into our break with a quote that was shared to us by Father John Olin Brown. And this is what's stated. It's as if we were in a destructive, unhealthy situation, a demeaning love relationship, or an unfulfilling job. And after all the denials and all the rationalizations, we're struck by a moment of clarity, and it suddenly pops. An alternative has come into the world. There's no more balance sheets, no more judicious weighing of the pros and cons. We just leave because we know we have to. Because now, thanks to Louisa, we can. We finally arrived. We're finally going back to that other side. Finally.
You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now return to the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will.
And thank you again, Radio Maria. I want to welcome everyone back to this, the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will with Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will. I come to us live today from Maryville, Tennessee. You know, we're talking on the eve now of the Solemnity of the Immaculate Conception of Mary. And you know, the dialogue between Angel Gabriel and the Blessed Mother. I mean, let's first think about it. Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you. You know, the angel addressed her with this name, which means simply always filled with God's love, with his grace. The angel entered into her home, just like Radio Maria is entering into each and every one of our homes. And the angel came voluntarily. Radio Maria comes voluntarily. You're not going to force you to turn on Radio Maria. But you know what? You'd be losing an awful lot if you did not. But you know what would also be a tremendous loss? If when we turned on Radio Maria, there was silence. And that's always a possibility when you're 100% listener supported. There are no commercials. There's no agendas. There's nobody pushing a product that you don't need. All of this for our benefit, for God's glory. So please, if you can, God is anticipating that those who can contribute will. We can all contribute spiritually. We can all give. We can all donate spiritually. But some of us have been blessed to do so monetarily as well. And again, God knows who it is and who's not. So if you cannot, God is not expecting you to. But perhaps if you can, maybe God is watching. Remember, he tells Louisa, I'm spying on you. So maybe he's looking over your checkbook. But if you can, please go to radiomaria.us or simply call 888-408-0201. That's 888-408-0201. And we'll try to provide our part, which is providing a gift. Anyone making a donation, whether you're doing it live or if you're listening to the archives, we will give you, send you as a free gift for your donation, a relic prayer card of Louisa Picaretta, which includes actually a piece of Louisa's clothing, which is phenomenal. Again, a relic. Also an I Am Catholic card, which again, should be carried by each and every one of us in the event that we need a priest called. It has the act of contrition on the back also, so that maybe if we're not able to pray it, somebody who finds it on us may pray it on our behalf. Again, the communion of saints is alive and robust. But again, please go to radiomaria.us. You know, we're talking on this eve of the Solemnity of the Immaculate Conception of Mary. We're also on the feast day of St. Ambrose. You know, Mother, St. Ambrose was known, among other things, for his ability to settle disagreements between the Arians and the Catholics. And he was sort of a mediator of sorts. And we're all, as ambassadors of Christ, which St. Paul calls us, we're all called to be mediators of truth. And that's why it's so important, because God is saying here that in the book of heaven, these are everything, absolute, complete, full truths of what he's been giving hints of for the last 2,000 years through his holy church. Now he's giving us the full, robust explanation, full explication. And if you think that that explication is not necessary and not wanting and willing and looking for as the church's promise, well, look at Article 66 of our Catholic Catechism, which states, although no new public revelations are expected before the glorious return of our Lord, it is for the future generations to better understand what has already been given. And cool. So, yes, it's new, but it's always been there. We just couldn't see it. Mother?
Yes, tomorrow I want to remind everybody, too, there's the Hour of Grace. I think it's from 12 to 1. If you don't know what the Hour of Grace is, it's a beautiful thing to do from 12 to 1, adoration. She's going to give you information. I just want to say, too, tomorrow is going to be my feast day. I'll celebrate in a special way. I was baptized. My baptismal name is Gabrielle Marie, and my title is the Annunciation. So I'm Mother Gabrielle Marie of the Annunciation. So I'll be, I would appreciate all your prayers for me on my feast day tomorrow, okay?
A humble congratulations, Mother. Thank you for that reminder.
Yes, today is the Hour of Grace, and I just want to give you a quick information about the Hour of Grace. Our Blessed Mother appeared to Sister Pierina in Monte Chiari in Italy, and this is the message that she gave to her. She said, my son is greatly offended by the sins of impurity. He is already planning to send the deluge upon the people for their destruction, but I have asked him to show mercy and not send the destruction. So that is why I have appeared, excuse me, to ask for penance and atonement for the sins of impurity. So she said the penance is nothing more than accepting all the crosses daily willingly, no matter how small, accept them with love. So she asked, what is the Hour of Grace? And she said, she promised her, we should pray with the prayers and penances. Pray the 51st Psalms with outstretched arms 3 times. And during the hour of grace, many spiritual graces would be granted. The most hard-hearted sinners will be touched by the grace of God. And she also promised that whatever a person asks her for during this hour of grace, even in impossible cases, would be granted to them if it was in accordance with the will of the Eternal Father. So remember this, and yes, let's keep the hour of grace and ask Our Lady to intercede for us.
And you saw them, tell them the psalm, they have to say for the arms,
51st,
the arms in form of a cross, and
say
pray
three times.
The 51st psalm three times.
Wonderful. Well, thank you, Sister Gloria, for that. You know, and Sister, I have to mention also, I'm very intrigued and I'm complimenting you. Your Italian accent is quite good, considering you were born with a Korean tongue. it must be all that pasta and pizza you had in Italy that's transformed you a bit.
It's all getting mixed up for being Italian American.
Oh, so it's quite nice. It's quite
it's
nice.
So nice to be an American, think in your own language now.
That's,
you know,
right. I know. I haven't even mastered English yet, let alone other languages. So again, all these other sisters that are ESL, English is a second language. Again, I don't know how they do it, but again, God's grace is oozing from them. Back to you, Mother. Sisters.
Today I'd like to share this passage from volume 29. Okay, Jesus talks about the divine will which sustains all the lives. My divine will makes itself life and act of all things. It sustains them and preserves them. It places them around the creature to make her feel from all things and from all sides. It's a movable life, it's immutable strength, it's invincible love. It can be said that it claps her everywhere as triumph its love. And it maintains not only the external order and all things in act, as if it were creating them, but it maintains internally, with its creative strength, the whole internal order of the creature. So it is always in act of creating the heartbeat, the breath, the motion, the blood circulation, the intelligence, the memory, the will. It runs as life and the heartbeat and the breath in everything. It sustains and preserves without ever withdrawing from the soul and from the body. If the supreme will of mine is everything, does everything, and is not recognized, but rather forgotten. It could say, as I said to the apostles, I have been with you for so long, and you still do not know me. Many things are made known which do not form the life of the creature, and of my will, which forms the life and is continuous act of life. Otherwise, she could not live. Nothing is made known. Therefore, my daughter, be attentive. Recognize it in you and outside of you, in everything more than your own life, and you will feel admirable things, its continuous act that loves you with untiring love, and only because it loves you, it gives you life. So when we think about it, really, our heartbeat, our breath, our blood circulation and everything, it is continuous act of divine will. He is infusing his divine life in us. It is flowing in us. And like internally and externally, we can recognize his will in everything, in all the creatures, and even in us, we see his life in us. If it stops even a moment, a second, we cannot exist. We cannot make our heart beat. We cannot make ourselves to breathe, because it is God that is giving life in us. And because God is our Father, our Heavenly Father, he really wants us to recognize his paternity. In every moment that we recognize this love that is placed in all the creatures and in us, that's the blessed encounter that we have with our God. That is the blessing. And he wants to celebrate it together with us. Because it is always easy to understand this, the relationship between God as the relationship between the parents and children. You know, the parents, the expectant mother, she has the child in her womb for 9 months, and then she prepares everything before the baby comes. She buys diapers, baby food, prepares the room, buys toys and everything. It's like God created all the creatures before he created Adam. And when God created Adam, that's when he gave birth to us. And he is truly our Heavenly Father. And he just wants to share that love that he has, that he poured out in everything with us. And he just wants us to love him back with the love that he gave it to us. And he truly wants to share the property that that he created for us. When we remember what he has done for us, for all the things that he created for us, that all the things that he gave us, and the passion and sufferings that Jesus went through, then we are loving God as our Father, and he can love us as his children. And it's only because he wants to give us the help. He wants to make us the holy people, and because he wants us to feel internally the effect of the divine life. So he is all eyes, and he's looking at us and to see whether we are lacking anything. So all the creatures are calling us as the children of God, and they are telling us to recognize God as our Father, Heavenly Father. So our breath, our circulation, our heartbeat, everything is I love you from God eternally, telling us to that he is loving us, and he just wants us to love him back.
Amen. Yeah, that's another great example of God's God's ultimate wisdom, as he has chosen women to bear children. Because if men were to bear children, we would never reproduce.
Right. And he also tells Luisa about how in his divine will, every heartbeat of our own is an incarnation again of Jesus in our souls. So it's like a constant generation of the eternal word now in us. And that's how Adam was created in the beginning. Like, it was the perfect completion and fulfillment of the divine will dwelling in man, and man dwelling in God. And that's why he was embraced in his light, that he couldn't, that's why he couldn't notice that he was naked, because he was embraced in the light of God. And when he cut that relationship between him and God, that's when Adam and Eve were able to see their mysteries and all the human will contains without the divine will. I was reflecting lately on, is it really like not any other soul living the divine will prior to Luisa? And I was sharing with one of my sisters about it, and we were just reflecting on, it's different. I mean, we all live in the divine will because it's this substance of God, like the one who moves everything, and even our souls and our movements. But the divine volition operated in the soul is the calling that Luisa had at the moment, and now it's being passed through to us, to all generations after her. And it's how Sister Gloria was talking about how the divine will is supreme, and is the owner of everything. And I was reading from volume 13, July 26, 1921, and Jesus is comparing the divine will like a water, and he said that man can subtract himself. Hold on, right? This is. It says, man can subtract himself from my light, from my love, from my grace, but from my will never. He will be like someone who wanted to live without water. It is true that there might be some lunatic who hates water, but in spite of the fact that he hates it, that he does not love it, he will be forced to drink it, either water or death. So it is with my will. Since it is life of everything, creatures will keep it with them either with love or with hatred. But even though unwillingly, they will be forced to let my will flow in them, like blood in the veins. And for those who wanted to subtract themselves from my will, it will be like suiciding their own souls. Yet my will still not leave them. It will follow the curse of justice over them, since it cannot follow over them the curse of the goods that my volition contains. If men knew what it means to do or not do my will, all would tremble with fright at the mere thought of subtracting themselves for one single instant from my will. So at least for us, that we have found these knowledges, and now we are reading more and more about them and living in them, I think we need to prefer and choose to do and live in his divine wills, to not cut that relationship between him and us, and fulfill that completion of the glory of the creation and why man was created.
Yeah, it's so true. We all live in the divine will because the divine will beats our heart, flows our blood, and breathes our lungs. But when we recognize it being of God and being His most holy divine will, that's when we give back gratitude. Remember, that's what Jesus was. He stated in His humanity, He lacked the most. He didn't see any gratitude. The lepers, 10 were healed, 1 came back. Where are the other 9? Very few people give gratitude. So again, gratitude is God and faith is God. He tells us that in volume 2. Right, Sister Jacinta?
Yes, that's so true. I don't remember exactly which volume it was, but Jesus asked through Louisa that gratitude like opens the key to new graces, because like the more we're grateful, the more we dispose our souls from our graces. Whereas if we're ungrateful, then we shut our soul from those graces.
Amen.
I'd like to read a little bit from March 20th, 1932. Some parts of it I'll be skipping here and there when I read. From volume 30, where Jesus tells us, through Louisa, the 3 necessary conditions for obtaining the kingdom of the divine will. So, towards the beginning of this passage, Jesus was talking about, like, how many gifts he wants to give to mankind, but because mankind doesn't ask for all those gifts, then he isn't able to give all those gifts. So it's really important for us to ask. Because the more we ask, the more we dispose our souls to receive those gifts. It's like what scripture says, ask and you shall see, seek and you shall find, knock and the door shall be opened. So I'm just gonna read the three requirements Jesus gives us. So the first is, that is why the first indispensable requirement to obtain the kingdom of the divine will is to ask for it with ceaseless prayers. The second requirement to obtain this kingdom, even more necessary than the first, is to know that one can possess it. Who can ever think of a blessing, desire it, and love it, if he does not know that he can obtain it? No one. The third requirement is to know that God wants to give this kingdom. This knowledge lays the foundation, the sure hope to obtain it, and it makes the final preparations to receive the kingdom of my divine will. And really, living in the divine will is really living in the present moment. Like, what is God asking me to do right now? Just realizing the Holy Trinity within your soul. And it's so true what Mother said earlier, for us to get the gift of the divine will, we first must live in the divine will and call Jesus into all our activities. And then later on, of course, it's good to call Jesus into all our activities. But another way of doing acts and rounds is also thinking like Jesus is doing this in me. And then it becomes like a habit, like Jesus is drinking in me, Jesus is eating in me, Jesus is praying in me. And it becomes so habitual like that. And I realized the more that you try to live in the divine will, the more you love God above all and your neighbor as yourself. So really, the gift of living in the divine will, it's really the best way for us to follow the gospel of Christ to its fullness.
Yeah, it completes everything.
Yeah, I was reading volume 2, September 9th, 1899. Our Lord was telling Louisa, how beautiful you are. You are my simple dove, my beloved dwelling, my living temple in which I am pleased to delight, united with the Father and the Holy Spirit. Your continuous languishing from me relieves me and refreshes me from the continuous offenses that creatures give me. I know that the love I have for you is so great that I am forced to hide it in part so that you may not go mad, but may live. In fact, if I showed it to you, you would not only go mad, but would not be able to continue to live. Your weak nature would be consumed by the flames of my love. While he was saying this, I felt all confused and annihilated. And I felt myself sinking into the abyss of my nothingness because I saw myself all imperfect. So the closer you get to God, the more imperfect you see yourself. But how much he loves each one of us. Yes, he had a great love for Louisa, but he also has a great love for you, great love for me, for each one of us. And if we knew how much he loved us, if we realized that love, we would die of joy. We couldn't live. Little Blessed Imelda, and she's buried in Bologna, Italy. She was living with the sisters. She was only like 10 years old and had made her first communion yet. And she used to tell the sisters, in those days, they used to let them come in and live as nuns, even though they had made their first communion. She used to tell the sisters, I don't know how you can receive Jesus in the Eucharist and still live. And one day during Mass, the host left the hands of the priest after it was consecrated and went and was suspended in the air above Blessed Imelda. The priest knew that God wanted her to receive him, so he gave, the priest went and got the host and put it in Blessed Imelda's mouth. She received him, and she fell on the floor, and all the sisters thought she was in ecstasy, but she had actually died. She died of joy because she had that special grace to realize the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. We know that he's there intellectually, but if we really, really realize who he is when we receive him, I think we will die of joy like Blessed Imelda. So, but he lives within each one of us, and we must see him in all around us and know how much he loves us. And as we see him in ourselves, we are going to see him in others. As we see him in ourselves, we're going to realize our nothingness. And without him, we can do nothing. More and more, we're going to grow into that. We're going to take on the attributes and the virtues of him, of God. We're going to become, like St. Thomas Aquinas said, little gods, taking on his attributes, his virtues. So yes, it's easy to practice virtue when you let Jesus do it in you. And so we have to realize him dwelling within us, let him practice the virtue in you by focusing on him rather than yourself. And you're going to find, you realize your nothingness, you're growing in great holiness, you're growing in peace and joy and love and humility, and you will have that perfect joy that St. Francis spoke about. Humility is perfect joy. Nothingness, to realize that, is even more than that. So to realize that without him, you talk many times, Peter, about the shadow. We're nothing but a shadow. And so without God, we are nothing. And we want to be in his, we want to be his shadow, be close to him, let him take, to go into God, you know, and take on all of his attributes. We're like a little drop of water in the ocean of his love. And all of our acts and rounds are blended into that ocean of all of his acts and rounds, Louise's, Our Lady's, all those people who have done acts and rounds in the past, Adam and Eve's, they're all there, and our acts and rounds get blended within theirs. So it's like we get theirs and they get ours. It's all, we're all one in God.
Right. You know, Mother, only in our nothingness are we able to see everything that God has given to us. It's only in that nothingness. It's almost like we've taken the fog away from our eyes. It's so, and I think it's also not insignificant that Jesus calls Louisa the simple dove. You know, God speaks a little cryptically. He has everything veiled a bit. He wants us to work a little bit, you know, find what he's talking about. I mean, the dove is simplified as the Holy Spirit in most instances. You're the dove, you think of the Holy Spirit. Well, if she's the little dove, she's the simple Holy Spirit. To me, it's telling me, read the volumes. You want to get a robust understanding of what the Holy Spirit is? Read the Book of Heaven, and it'll explain everything to do about the Holy Spirit and more.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. Yes. That's wonderful. I mean, it's such a great gift. So I encourage everybody out there, keep reading it, but also, like I say every week, keep doing your acts and rounds and divine will. That's where it's at. That's how you're going to grow and living in his divine will. Don't let a moment go by, but realize the reality of that, that it's just not words asking Jesus to do things in and through you, but realizing he really is doing everything in and through you as you invite him into every activity you do throughout the day. It's him within you doing it. You're going to become more and more like him, die to yourself more and realize your nothingness.
Right. And we have to believe that, Mother, to your point. We have to believe that.
It's all about our faith. We have to believe it.
Mm-hmm. We have to invoke our charity. And I think one of the greatest examples, I think, well, we're speaking about our Blessed Mother, one of the great examples, I think, of how the divine will works is, again, basically, I think Jesus tells us in Volume 2, it's God giving his love to us and us responding and giving his love back to him. Think about St. Anne and Joachim. They had beautiful lives, complete lives, but they had one void in their life. They had no child.
He had no
and
child.
God gives them the child of all childs, the Blessed Mother. That's the greatest gift that they could have received. And what do they do? At 3 years old, they give that beautiful gift back to
back
God.
To God, yes.
Reciprocal of love, the greatest example that we can learn through. It's really beautiful. It's everything. We've got about a minute, Mother. Any closing thoughts?
No, just like I just said, just keep reading so you can grow in that faith, hope, and love of God. You know, we have to have faith and hope and grow into charity. Charity is the greatest gift. If you can love, you know, love covers a multitude of sins. And don't worry about any sins that you have. God is a great, merciful God. Trust in his mercy. It's a slap in the face to God not to trust in his mercy. You know, that's what we just really have to have full confidence in, how much God forgives us of everything. And you continue to fall maybe the rest of your life. Don't get discouraged. God allows that sometimes just so that you can grow in humility. If we had reached perfection so quickly, we would be very proud and arrogant. But it's your love that makes the difference. How much you love others, how much you love God. You're going to love God. He says, what you do to me, you do to others. So whatever, you see him in everyone, right, so that you treat everyone as if they are God to you, which they are God to you.
Right. Well, you heard it from Mother Gabriel Marie. Charity is most important. So we're all going to listen to your mother. We're going to call 888-408-0201. Or we're going to go to radiomaria.us, and we're going to be charitable because we know it binds all other virtues. I'd like to end with a quote from Ronald Reagan. He said, quote, there is no limit to the amount of good you can do if you don't care who gets the credit, end quote.
That's beautiful.
Remembering always, for the Almighty One has done great things in us. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to Radio Maria. Bye, everyone. Thank you, Mother, bye, sisters, bye, for your vocation.
Bye-bye.
Love you all.
Love you, too.
Thank you so much for listening to the Radio Maria podcasts. It's thanks to listeners like you who donate that enable us to continue delivering quality content to listeners around the world. If you'd like to contribute and help us keep spreading the message of Our Lady's Son, please consider making a donation. You can reach us at 888-408-0201 or simply visit our donations tab on our website at radiomaria.us. Your generosity truly makes a difference. This has been a Radio Maria production.